Several years ago, I was almost in a terrible car crash, and it would have been 100% my fault. I was driving down this road that was two lanes, a huge median, and then two lanes, going towards a fairly major intersection with a stoplight. I was the only car around me at that time. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I was heading to work, and I was preoccupied. I was distracted. I'd been in an argument with my roommate. It was something about work. There was a couple things that just my mind was consumed with. And so although I was physically on this road driving at about 45 miles an hour, my mind was elsewhere. And so I didn't see the light go yellow and then go red. And as I'm about to careen through this intersection at about 50 miles an hour, at the very last moment, I see cars beginning to move. And I've never hit my brakes harder. And my car lurches to a stop. Everyone else sees what's going on. They slam on their brakes. They lurch to a stop. I stop about 6 inches from this big gray truck. And then over here, I look out my window, and I should not be able to see this woman's face so clearly. She's distraught because her bumper is about 2 inches from my door. The smell of burning brakes is everywhere, and I mean, we avoided a terrible accident by this much. The truck in front of me moves. I get out of there as fast as I can. Thank God no one was hurt, but the truth is that I was so distracted with aspects of my life that I potentially lost my life, or at least damaged it and those others, because I was preoccupied. I was distracted, and it almost cost me something dear. This is actually what our scripture is about today in large part, this danger of preoccupation. And if you think about it, that's a big example of when, you know, being preoccupied almost cost me my life dramatically. But the truth is, there are preoccupations that can subtly take our life away. I love the world we live in, but technology, media, advertisement is all around us, and it can distract us. And even going another step further, you know, there are some types of distraction that are actually subtly encouraged in our world. I hate it when I'm at home playing with my kids, but in my mind, I'm actually at work thinking about something that needs to get done. I'm actually missing my life subtly because I'm not present to it. And this is something that Mary and Martha have to teach us along with Jesus today. But before I get to what this passage is about, I want to address what it's not about. This passage is not about simply being spiritual and spending all of our time praying. That's not Luke's intention, for you see, it's back to back with a very important story we heard last week, which was the parable of the Good Samaritan. We've literally just heard what it meant to radically love our neighbor, comprehensively, and perhaps even excruciatingly, love our neighbor. In fact, Luke uses intentional language to connect the story of Mary and Martha to his telling of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan story, in his words, begins with a certain man. He chooses to begin this with a certain woman. So Luke is intentionally connecting the story of the Good Samaritan to the story of Mary and Martha by connecting common language and putting them side by side. What this passage is a teaching on teaching us how to love God. The Good Samaritan story teaches us how to love each other. This story teaches us how to love God. And we do that by two primary ways. We receive God, and we learn from God. Now, in this day and age of Jesus' time, receiving someone in hospitality was a very prescribed and ornate endeavor. It was very culturally significant. And one thing you did when you received someone is you prepared them a meal. So Martha, in our story, is representing the act of receiving Jesus by going through the effort to provide hospitality for him through a meal. Mary is showing us how to learn from Jesus by sitting at his feet and contemplating his words. So Mary and Martha teach us to love God by receiving Jesus and being open and willing to being transformed by his word, to learn from him. But there's something wrong. And that wrongness is not what we do, but how we do everything. You see, Martha has gotten distracted. She's gotten worried. Her focus and attention on receiving Jesus has been overwhelmed by the worldly cares of, will the meal be ready? And I'm all by myself here. And how is this all going to get done? She's preoccupied now and not focused on Jesus. She's trapped by the cares of this world. And interestingly, the Greek word here that is in our scripture twice as distracted literally means to be pulled about or pulled apart. Martha has become fractured and not focused on Jesus. And in this distractedness, she actually gets angry and she gets entitled. And she goes to Jesus and says, "Don't you care about me?" And then she says, rather than submitting to Jesus, she asks Jesus to submit to her. She says, "You tell her to help me." Rather than being transformed by Jesus, Martha is saying, "Jesus, you do what I want." This world, the kingdom of the world, is hell-bent on distracting us, on stressing us, on fracturing us, on pulling us about and apart. And if we don't watch out, this will literally kill us, either in a traumatic way like a car accident, or again silently by us being so preoccupied and distracted in our life that we're never present to our life. And so what Jesus offers us in this world of distractedness, of fragmentedness, of pointlessness, Jesus offers us single-mindedness. Or another way to say that is salvation. Another way is to say forgiveness. Another way is to say coherence. Jesus offers us wholeness of being, where our insides can match our outsides, where our hearts can match our hands naturally. And Scripture points to this as well. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Everything you do, do it single-mindedly towards God. Paul again in Colossians chapter 3, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6, right after he said, consider the lilies of the field, do not worry. Don't worry about what you eat or what you wear. He says, "Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these other things, all these worries you have, will be given to you as well." The answer to our frustration, our anxiety, and our fragmentation is to focus our lives on Jesus. And this is why Jesus celebrates Mary, not for the fact that she's listening to Jesus, but she's listening to him single-mindedly. She's put her trust in Jesus. Martha could have prepared the meal the same way, but she got caught in her worldly anxieties. So again, it's not what we do. It's how we do everything, and really, it's who we do everything for, Jesus. And so how do we accept Jesus' invitation to coherence, for salvation? How do we seek first the kingdom of God and have our hearts and hands naturally match? And though the simple, although I wouldn't say easy, is with our intentions. You see, there's something that the most holiest saint in the world and the most depraved sinner in the world have in common. They all have 24 hours in one day. The difference is how we choose to use it, or who we choose to use it for. And so we have to be intentional in our lives if we want to have our lives. If you're playing Pokemon Go and you're above level 1, you've been intentional about that. I'm on level 8. Think if I spent all that time focused on Jesus. And so we have to be intentional about time to receive Jesus through the ancient practices of meditation, solitude, silence, Sabbath, and fasting, to name a few. We need to be intentional about our time to listen to Jesus through worship, scripture study and memorization, and Christian fellowship. And I'm going to add this here because I believe this is Luke's purpose as well. We have to be intentional about when we serve Jesus or others through Jesus. And so we have to know when we are extending God's kingdom and manifesting His grace. And so if I were to come up to you right now and say, tell me intentionally in your life, when you are receiving Jesus, listening to Jesus, and serving Jesus, if you can't within 10 seconds spit back to me how you're doing that intentionally, well, you may be distracted, preoccupied, pulled apart. I am too. Nobody's holier than thou, but this is what Jesus offers us. The fullness of our life by actually living into our life intentionally. And then everything else will be added to us as well. Because you see, if we're not intentional about seeking out God's gift of coherence to us, of salvation, then we'll be in jeopardy of losing our life, of being pulled about and apart, either instantly or silently. Consistently over time and days. We've seen a lot of terror and a lot of trauma in the world lately. Again and again, we kind of are hit through these events in the world that just, like a car accident, just explode into our lives. And I'll say this for me, I think it's true for you, they make me numb, they make me hopeless. And if I'm honest too, they will make me angry and resentful. But you see, those are distractions. And if I'm even more honest, you know, these events of terror and trauma, they cause numbness, they cause hopelessness, they cause resentment. But to be honest, there are things in my day-to-day life that do the same thing. And so whether it's a big event or a subtle event, I find myself caught in numbness, hopelessness, and resentment. But that's not who we're called to be. We're called to focus our lives on Jesus. And here's the thing, in the face of terror and trauma in the world, that sounds like nonsense. It sounds counterintuitive, and it sounds counterproductive. I'm here to tell you what it is countercultural. It's a solution that's outside of the kingdom of the world and intimately involved in the kingdom of God. And it is Jesus who transforms this world, first through our hearts, and then through your heart, and then through our hearts, and then the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I don't know what it's going to look like in the end, but I know where to start. It's here with you, my heart and yours, in focusing on Jesus and saying, Jesus, heal this world. Focus me on you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first Jesus Christ. He is the better part, the part that will not be taken away from us, the part that is necessary. And then everything else will be added. And our hands will reflect our hearts, and the world will be transformed.